Blog Talk Radio.
Where and who shall it shall stand today? My
when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that the moon somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
As God has shown us, fire turning stone to bread,
and so we all must lend a helping hand. We are the world, we are the children,
we are the ones to make a brighter day, so let's start giving.
Just for making, we're saving our lives.
Ain't no stopping us now. Oh no. God tonight, all is well. As I come to you tonight, we're going to put Dr. King later on because Saturday we march into Market Park. The dramatized the open housing. Our sister Janet is called. Sister Janet is organizing the march to Market Park. Dr. King, 20 years ago, the blacks come in the area. When even the blacks moved in that part of the south side of Chicago. And we marched for 5 days. I want you to look committed to God and commit to you that you're going to do better in 2022 with all that's going on, the mass murders, the killing going on, but God is still is in control. I want to take the time tonight, you know, ask you to come to be involved in fighting the forces. You're saying many of the money spirits that have captured our children. I have a wife, a husband, young man, and called me and was saying I'm going to kill this. In his family. You know where it comes from. I don't know where it's come from. And I want to tell you tonight, this is the 8th month. All of you old have a birthday to your old spirit. But I'm finding out now, Jerry, a lot of the spirits on these different drugs that you're using, they fix these pills up with so much the demonic spirit, make people kill themselves. Make people don't know their family members, and even make them break away from their loved ones. But the pull on the drug, you take a drug, you might take an aspirin. Tell them, what is the effect of the pill that I take? Some take just to get high. It fixes your skin with it, make it the high. And they get high, they don't know where they're at. The divine word is that you have to let go and let God. Some of you don't want to hear tonight. 20 years ago, we marched to Marquette Park. Reverend M.L. Sarden, these are ministers that passed that were Bob Lucas. Okay. They marched to open house back in. Mother Annie Ford Bacon, she cooked the food here in the Wood Lobster Hood. Foster Grady from Inglewood community was involved. So many people were involved, got successful. And when Dr. King marched over there, it was rocked to Dr. King. And the Chicago Police Department said, we cannot take you, Dr. King. We went back and had a rally. So the Teen Nation, let me say Teen Nation, y'all call them gangs, we had the Vice Lord from the West Side, Mighty Mighty West Side. They said, Dr. King, we'll guard you. Also, when you look at Inglewood, the devil disciples, with the disciples, Dr. King, we are. Okay. Now, really King, God and Dr. King, he was not. The Black Peace Stone was under Jeff Ford and Eugene Harrison, and the disciples was under David Boxdale and Larry Hoover. They said, Dr. King, we will guard you. Okay. Now, the Black Panther Party said, Dr. King, we will guard you. Now, this happened. Every teen nation in the Black community was Dr. King, by God. I want to tell a story. So we marched in Ashland all the way to 63rd, all the way up Ashland, to 7th and set the first turn and go west. called Western. In that time, they catch a black man at night, beat him out the car, wanting to beat the paralyzed. They will beat you after we begin the march and ask them for open houses. Okay. Here's some things that happen. After that happened, the Senate said, well, we can guard you now. But we didn't guard, we had all the nations. And they were better than the police. Because when the people see them young people marching with us, they know it's on. Like the game was ours. But them young men, they weren't violent. They was there because of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We was there. Reverend Dunlap, Reverend Sargent, Reverend Clay Evans, John Thurston, Evan Brad, all of us, everybody, Westside Organization, Nancy Wilson, you name the women, they was involved in the march, the open house march, Woodward Palace, where they didn't want blacks in the neighborhood. I got to tell this story because a lot of people don't know. But Friday, we're going to meet at 63rd and Nashville and move and go back to my car where they got a statue of Dr. King. That's where we have come. And in the midst of that, we should meet each other. Back then, blacks couldn't go to Market Park. They get beat up or get up. Okay? They have a thing called a massive party over there. They had signs on a program, nigga gone. I'm keeping it real tonight. So the divine word was God will overcome. Whatever you're going through tonight, God will overcome the job you need. Now, I see where the girl got 9 years in Russia. Y'all say, well, that's bad. The misjustice of black folks right here in America is bad. Now, let me tell you what Russia did. Russia don't like America, number one. They don't like blacks, number two. And they don't like people that are gay. So the woman had distracted against her, starting off. Why would she bring over to Russia? Okay, but that's for another show. But what I'm saying to you, don't get caught up in hype. Let's see what's gonna go on. What's happening? What is the deal? What is the real deal? You got to find out. I want to thank Janice and Sister Janice have been working this thing down in Motown, the brother. They're getting ready to march. And at 3 o'clock, Reverend Al Sampson will be there. Dr. Reverend Coleman is going to be there. Well, you know, you weren't given the part with the ticket. You ain't given up your education. And so you got to demand your education. You got to demand. And I went to college just and I want it because it's mine. What I'm saying to you, lots of these young brothers that marched with us were shot and killed by the police. And though they couldn't kill, they didn't bring them. They did that. Now, y'all don't want to let that happen. You know, it was it. On all the teams, all the young folks that marched Dr. King was a contract on them. Now, you say, well, that sounds like a gangster. Now, this was the police department. This was the state attorney, Elohim, man. They were going to kill people from the Vice Lord, people from the Blackstone Ranger, people from the Disciples. People, they had to kill them. Not to kill them, to kill them. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what happened. And when they came over, late night, here's police. Come let me want to see a jail. No. See him in the morning. They understood if they pull a gun, it's going to be a gun play. The police understood that. They were sent as hit men. See, people don't even know why what happened to me? Hit. What happened to Mark? It was hit. But you know, you don't believe that. What happened? Half the killings in the black community is sometimes police and they investigate and they know half the killings they ain't caught with yet. Right now in Chicago, all the shootings and all the cameras, ain't nobody seen nothing. The cameras seen nothing. Think about that. Just think about what I'm saying. If the cameras have the people, yeah. How come they can't get the picture? They got the car. They got everything. Why pass by and don't see them? Ain't nobody seen nothing. What happened to Mark Clark, Fred Hamilton? What happened up in Seoul? The same thing happening right now. With all these sophisticated cameras, we ought to be able to see anybody doing anything, okay? And that's what I'm saying. I come up catching people that's doing all this stuff. Somebody ain't policing like they ought to be. Somebody not doing the job that they're supposed to do. Cop to stop the killing, save the baby. I got Dr. King on the way. He was talking about true Americans. Then I got Dr. King when he was talking about his last speech that he made when he was talking about Vietnam and what happened. Why people, ain't nobody went to jail for it. The young white boy is running around with assault rifles. He had a sign for guilt. So we're going into a situation where we got white America, we got black America, we got a poor America, then we got a rich America. And then the middle class is gone. You got you rich and you poor. Gas is high, food is high, job ain't getting a raise. So one of the things I'm saying to you tonight, we're still caught up in racism in America. We're still caught up in that. We're caught up in it. We have to know how to deal with it and what door really needs to be opened up. I want to take the time out to deal when I say a divine word, I mean God. And the divine word from God is in the Ten Commandments. That's just not said back here. It's just not covered under the Ten Commandments. But that's a divine law. And the divine law says man and woman. Let me say that again. Husband and wife. It didn't say man to man, woman to woman. Man put that stuff together. But God, divine law, said man, when I was in a lady, they called me for missing. Woman went to the woman that she had broke up with monkey pop. And she was so caught up with her husband, she ordered the doctor. Now he gave me that. The doctor said, when you get through arguing, only you can pop and having sex with a man. How they fix it up? You know, you puff out of their body, you get it going to hit you. But what the government says, the law is that man and woman supposed to be together. This woman was broke out. All down in her circulator with the soul. The doctor ain't no way you can get this but by the spot. And she said, your husband is one way. I got my office. You have to do the same. Stop being naive and look and understand. They tell you anything, you believe it. They kind of say, well, it just happened. Don't nothing just happen. Everybody know what I'm saying? You better check out the man that you've been laying in bed with. Is he laying with another man? Wake up. Yeah. Oh, Jimmy, is he really all right? You better watch out. Try the spirit, by the spirit, is that the right spirit? I know y'all don't want to hear that. I should have answered tonight. I bless you tonight. God is trying to give you the word. That's all his will. The flood, the storm, the fire. America is on fire. Up in South Dakota, all over in there, fires. Down in Texas, it's fires. Right now, they got floods. Now, I'm going to prophesy this. You can write it down. Put it in your book. Hurricane season, you ain't seen nothing. It's two or three hurricanes. People got to move out of their homes. Hurricanes coming back to back. You better listen to what I'm saying. This is the 8th month. Get ready for lost changes take place. I was over at Reverend Al Sampson Church where the black farmer came up from Arkansas, came from Mississippi. They brought watermelons and corn in the market. You better go back and start the canning. Let grandma get the can, you know what I'm talking about, and begin to put your food up because it's going to be a shortage on stuff, okay? And you see what's happening, that all America's attention, not on the streets of America, is on Ukraine. It's not on Mississippi, Arkansas, Georgia, Arkansas. It's not on Alabama. They look somewhere else. Read it east, west, north, and south. Because God's going to bring a revelation out of the sea. Them that need, I got the Ark of the Covenant here. Call me, I'll get the covenant to you and tell you what it means. It's got to be a divine thing. The evil that's taking pills, you drinking whiskey, and acting the dope, and you're evil. Well, it's killing coming from because of evil spirit. Abaddon is the angel of death. I think it's all right because you got a new car. You got a little money in the bank. Don't mean nothing. All them people in Kentucky, they ain't got no home. Their home washed away. People up in California, I'm brought up. You ain't seen nothing yet till you let go and let God. I'm telling you like it is. And don't tell me that I got the muck buff because I stood beside you. That's a lie. You get it by means going with means. Now, let any doctor tell you you can't get it in a way they're lying. Check the body. It's an abomination. It's abomination and death. Read Romans 1 and 6. It tells you the for that is death. You ain't got to believe me. Look in the Bible. Don't let the doctor tell you that you can get it by the path that you can get it. You get it by laying with a man. I'm not trying to be easy. It ain't easy. It's real stuff. It's a divine word of God. I want you to get ready for God to bless you in this month. I want you to get ready to press seeds. If you got me, better you plant a seed. Joe, because you got evil spirits on you because you ain't repented. You don't know how to say, I'm sorry, give me. You done lied so much, you think it's all right. You're living a lie, you're talking a lie, and you're being a liar. And you do not carry in God's sight. If you got a need, you went home and had a need, she planted a seed of the food. Abraham had a need, he took and sick. The boy, Ratshack and Mitchell go there for me. And Daniel and I have me. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's a thing to turn around, breaking the curses and hexes. And it's real.
And
God gonna be your plan. God gonna give you the vision. When I say 1, 2, 3, that's one. And all of this fall is still in. And the five is in the fall. So God trying to get you ready in a divine way and where you can be successful. Debt free home. Pay all you need. But you got to talk to somebody else. See, when your fist closed, you can't get nothing. You got to open it up. See, I believe in sowing and reaping. When you sow a seed, you reap a harvest. And I just see you for me in the month of August. I get so many calls about this birthday. I'm praying for all of you that have called me and said, Bishop, this is all as well. August. Line walk, month of the line walk. So a lot of stuff gonna be revealed, a lot of stuff gonna be fixed up. And if you study a lion act, he's very independent. He can watch and see. So God is placing you in some things that happen. The lady told me, she said, she went to the store, can you get no coconut oil? Because people know how to break the curse of the devil. Trina, give me a call. Thank you, Chance. Margaret, I'm praying for you tonight. And I want to tell you, Janice, Sally, I'll be there at that rally on Reverend Sampson. And we're going to lift some things up, wake you up. The divine word of God saying you can get what you want. The divine word of God will open the door for you. And I want to tell you tonight, God is able to heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. And some of you have lost your way because you're trusting in man. You're not trusting in God. It ain't what the news said 5 o'clock. It would God speak in your spirit. And I want to tell you, we're atoning. We're atoning for peace, for love and joy. When you begin to atone, God, listen to them that pray. When Daniel began to pray in the lion's den, God listened. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prayed. They put him in the furnace. But Jesus stepped up in there and made that furnace air condition. And I want to tell you that what's going on in this country got to be turned around with prayer. We praying for those that lost their loved ones and they send the Congress, the blood. Let me say it again. The blood is on the hand of Washington, D.C. Not making right decisions. The blood is on those congressmen, on the Democratic Republic. Not changing. Little kids got guns. 12 and 13. Get a gun quick and you'll get a McDonald's hamburger. Something wrong with that picture. But Dick Gregory said that. And Dick Gregory said that it was active in the movement. Here's Dr. King talking about two one black and white.
Situation. Militantism in America is overflowing with the milk of prosperity and the honey of opportunity, who have food and material necessities for their bodies, culture and education for their minds, freedom and human dignity for their spirit. In this America, millions of people experience every day the opportunity of having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in all of that dimension. And in America, millions of young people grow up in the sunlight of opportunity. America has a daily that constantly transforms the buoyancy of hope into the fatigue of despair. In this America, millions of men walk the streets daily in such jobs that do not fit. In this America, millions of people find themselves living in infested vermin fields. In America, people are poor by the million, cells perishing a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. Innocent great tragedy of this other America is what it does to little children. Little children in this other America are forced to grow up with clouds of inferiority forming every day in their little mental sky. As we look at this other America, we see it as an arena of blasted hopes and shattered dreams. Some are Puerto Ricans, some are Indians, some happen to be from other groups. Millions of them are Appalachian white. Probably the largest group in this other America, in proportion to size in the population, is the American Negro. American Negro finds himself living in a triple ghetto, a ghetto of race, a ghetto of poverty. A ghetto is to deal with this problem, to deal with this problem of the two Americas. We are seeking to make America one nation with liberty and justice for all. Now let me say that the struggle for civil rights or the struggle to make these two Americas one America is much more difficult today than it was 5 or 10 years ago. For about a decade, maybe 12 years, we struggled all across the South in glorious struggle to get rid of legal, overt segregation and all of the humiliation around that system of segregation. We could not go to a lunch counter in many instances and get a hamburger or a cup of coffee. We could not make use of public accommodation. Public transportation was segregated. Often we had to sit in the back and in transportation within cities, we often had to stand over the seats because sections were reserved for whites only. deal with these problems. And certainly they were difficult problems. They were humiliating conditions. Father, we put these conditions. We made it clear that it resulted ultimately more honorable to accept jail cell sentences than to accept sexual affiliation. By the thousands, student adults decided to stand at segregated lunch counters to protest condition pass. When they were sitting at those lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for the American dream, seeking to take the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy, which were founded upon the formulation of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Things were gained as a result of these years' struggle. 1964, the Civil Rights Bill came into being after the Birmingham Movement, which did a deal to penalize the conscience of a large segment of the nation to appear before the judgment seat of morality on the whole question of civil rights. After the Selma Movement in 1905, we were able to get a voter rights bill. All these things represent strife. But we must see struggle today is much more difficult. It's more difficult today because we are struggling now for genuine equality. It's easier to integrate a lunch counter than it is to guarantee a livable income and a solid job. It's much easier to guarantee the right to vote than it is to guarantee the right to live in sanitary and housing conditions. It is much easier to integrate a public park than it is to make genuine quality integrated education a reality. We are struggling for something which says we man. Genuine equality, not merely a struggle against extremist behavior toward Negroes, as in the struggle in the South. I'm not willing to go all the way now. I came to say this very difficult and painful in Chicago over the last year where I've lived and worked. Some of the people who came quickly to march within Selma and Birmingham were active around Chicago. And I can see that people who supported morally and even financially what we were doing in Birmingham and Selma were really outraged against the extremist behavior of Bull Connor and Jim Clark toward Negroes rather than believing in genuine quality for Negroes. And I think this is what we've got to see now, and this is what makes the struggle much more difficult. So as a result of all of this, we see problems existing today that are growing more difficult. It's something we often overlook, but Negroes generally live in worse slums today. And 25 years ago, in the North, schools are more segregated today than they were in 1954 with the Supreme Court decision on desegregation rendered. Economically, the Negro is worse off today than he was 15 and 20 years ago. So the unemployment rate among whites one time was about the same as the unemployment rate among Negroes. But today the unemployment rate among Negroes is twice that of whites. And the average income of Negro is 80% less than whites. We see the fact that the Negro economically is facing a depression in his everyday life that is more staggering than the depression of 30. The unemployment rate, the nationwide, is about 4%. Statistics would say from the Labor Department that among Negroes are in the labor market still go to employment agencies to seek jobs so they can be calculated. Statistics can be gotten because they are still somehow in the labor market. But there are hundreds of thousands of Negroes who have given up. They also, they come to feel that life is a long and desolate corridor for them with no exit sign. And so they no longer go to look for a job. There are those who estimate that these persons who are called the discouraged persons would be 6-7% in the Negro community. That means that unemployment among Negroes may well be 16%. Among Negro youth in some of our large urban areas, it goes to 30-40%. You can see what I mean when I say that in the Negro community, that is a major, tragic, staggering depression. Now, the other thing that we are coming to see now that many of us didn't see too well during the last 10 years, that is that racism is still alive in American society, much more widespread than we realize. We must see racism for what it is. It is the myth of the superior and the inferior race. It is a common tragic notion. One particular group, one particular race is responsible for all of the progress, all of the invites, and the total flow of history. And the theory that another group or another race is totally depraved, innately impure, and innately inferior. In the final analysis, racism is evil because its ultimate logic is genocide. Hitler was a tragic who carried racism to its logical conclusion. He ended up mediation upon killing about 6 million Jews. This is the tragedy of racism because its ultimate logic is genocide. If one says that I'm not good enough to live next door to him, if one says that I'm not good enough to eat at a lunch counter, or to have a good, decent job, or to go to school with him, merely because of my race, saying consciously or unconsciously that I do not deserve to exist. To use the philosophical analogy here, racism is not based on some empirical generalization. It is based rather on an ontological affirmation. It is not the assumption that certain people are behind culturally otherwise because of environmental conditions. It is the affirmation that the very being of a people is inferior. And this is the great tragedy of it. I say how unpleasant it is, we must honestly admit that racism is still deeply rooted. All America still deeply rooted in the North, still deeply rooted in the South. Now this leads me to say something about another discussion that we hear a great deal, and that is the so-called white backlash. I would like to honestly say to you that the white backlash is really a new name for an old phenomenon. Not something that just came to be because of shouts of black power, or because Negroes engaged in riots and what, for instance. The fact is that the state of California voted a firehouse bill out of existence before anybody shouted black power, or before anybody rioted in Watts. May well be the shouts of black power and riots in Watts, Harlem, and the other areas are the consequences of the white clash rather than cause of it is necessary that there happen a single solid monistic economic commitment on the part of the vast majority of America. The whole question of civil rights and on the whole question of racial equality is something that truly is the government will admit. It is said on the Statue of Liberty that America is the home of exile. It doesn't take long to realize that America has been the home of white exiles for years. It has not been any kind of regard and concern for its black exiles from Africa. It is no wonder that in one of his flower songs, the Negro could sing out, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child." What great estrangement, what great sense of rejection caused the people to emerge with such little power as they look for their lives. What I'm trying to get across is that our nation has constantly taken a positive step forward on the question of racial justice. Over and over again at the same time, they've taken back a step. And this has been the persistence of the so-called white backlash. In 1863, the Negro was freed from the bondage of physical. America was giving millions of acres of land in the West and Midwest, which meant that America was willing to undergird its white from Europe with an economic law that would make it possible to grow and develop. Refused to give economic law to its black peasant, to speak. This is why Frederick Douglass could say that emancipation for the Negro was freedom to hunger, freedom to the winds and rains of heaven, freedom without roots to cover their heads. He went on to say that the famine at the same time. It is not there. In 1875, the nation passed the Civil Rights Bill. In 1964, the nation passed a weaker Civil Rights Bill. Even to this day, that bill has not been fully enforced in all of its dimensions. The nation held a new day of concern for the poor, for the poverty-stricken, for the disadvantaged, brought into being a poverty bill. At the same time, it put such little money into the program that it was hardly and still remains hardly a good fish to come up with it. White politicians and suburbs talk eloquently against open houses and in the sin that they are not racist. All of this and all of these things tell us that America has been backlashing on the whole question of basic constitutional democratic rights for another disadvantaged group for more than 3 years. So these conditions, the system of widespread poverty, of slums and of tragic conditions in schools and other areas of life, all of these things have brought about a great deal of despair, great deal of desperation, great deal of disappointment and even bitterness in the Negro community. Today, all of our cities confront huge problems. All of our cities are potentially pouty as a result of the continued existence of these conditions. In moments of anger, many in moments of deep bitterness, engaged in riots. Let me say, as I've always said, I will always continue to say, that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppressful and national freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve. That in a real sense it is impractical for the Negro to even see a mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn riots. Continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way. Continue to affirm that there